Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. Since 2009, HRN podcasts have been exploring the wide world of food, beverage, and agriculture. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
Today's program is brought to you by Corin, a supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. For more information, visit corin.com.
Hello, welcome to Japan Eats. I'm your host, Akiko Tema, a food writer and the director of the New York Japanese Culinary Academy, which promotes a deeper understanding of Japanese cuisine in America. We are broadcasting live from Brooklyn, New York. This show is all about Japanese food and food culture. We see sushi at every deal in the supermarket, but what is beyond sushi? We hear dashi ramen izakaya, but what exactly are they? Japanese food is still a mystery for many people, and I try to demystify it in this program with my cool guests. And my guests today are Frankie Larkin and Madeline Lutart. I hope I pronounced your names properly. And Frankie is an illustrator and comic artist based in Paris. He recently published a fabulous comic book, The Art of Sushi. The title sounds very ambitious, but he does not disappoint you. I first learned about the book by reading a recommendation by an experienced Japanese sushi chef. The book is about Frankie and Madeline's adventures in Japan to discover real sushi. Their French perspectives cast refreshing views of Japanese culture, and Frankie objectively analyzes its essence in the book. And there are many top-of-the-industry professionals featured in the book, from a Michelin-starred chef to a fisherman, a rice farmer, to a soy sauce maker, and they generously share their insights with you. And because it's a comic book illustrated by Frankie himself, reading it is so much fun, and you feel like you're visiting Japan and spending time with the characters. So today, we'll discuss how Frankie became so fascinated by sushi, so much so that he decided to write a book about it, the amazing characters in the book, and what he learned from them, and much, much more. And Madeline is translating for Frankie today. But before we start, Japan Eats is available on the Heritage Radio Network website, as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. So please go to iTunes, Stitcher, or Spotify, whichever you listen to, and subscribe to Japan Eats. And please write a review. We really appreciate your feedback. Now, let's start a conversation with Frankie and Madeline. Hello, Frankie. Hello, Madeline. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi, thank you.
So you are in Paris, I believe.
Oui, tout à fait. Nous vivons à Paris depuis maintenant 13 ans, et j'ai rejoint Madeline en 2010 à Paris.
Yes, actually, we live in Paris. We've been living in Paris for 13 years now, and before I was living in Brittany.
Oh, wow. Okay, great. And so, to dig into your background, so where are you from and what did you eat when you grew up, Frankie?
Alors, je viens d'une petite ville en Bretagne, au bord de la mer, qui s'appelle Brest. Mais du coup, quand j'étais petit, en fait, j'aime beaucoup manger de fruits de mer et de poissons et de crustacés.
I come from a small town in Brittany, which is called Brest. And as I grew up very close to the sea, I ate many seafood and fishes and all the dishes with seafood and dishes.
Mm, that makes sense. Now you are working on the sushi thing. So great. And so you are an illustrator and comic artist. So could you tell us what kind of artwork you create and what your themes are?
Alors, en tant qu'illustrateur et auteur de BD, ce sont deux facettes très différentes de mon travail. Tout ce que je fais en illustration tourne souvent autour de la mode et des femmes, mais mon travail d'auteur de bande dessinée est très très différent puisqu'il est plutôt orienté sur la gastronomie en bande dessinée.
My works as an illustrator and as a comic artist are really different because as an illustrator, I've been really inspired by fashion and I'm mainly doing fashion design. But as a comic artist, I didn't choose it, but I specialize in food. So I did a comic book about chocolate, another one about sushi, and some other documentaries about food for teenagers.
Right. Oh, good balance. Beauty and food. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So when and where was your first encounter with sushi and what was your impression?
Ma première rencontre avec le sushi, c'était en 1998, quand je suis arrivé à Paris. Je suis venu travailler à Paris et j'ai mis les pieds dans un petit restaurant japonais, comme il y en a beaucoup à Paris, qui sont des restaurants pas très chers d'entrée de gamme. Et tout de suite, j'ai été très séduit par le côté esthétique du sushi. Puis évidemment, le côté poisson cru, fruits de mer m'a plu, évidemment, parce que c'est la nourriture que j'aime depuis que je suis tout petit.
My first encounter with sushi was in 1998, as I was living in Paris, and I just tasted sushi in a very small restaurant, which was kind of cheap and not very good quality. But by this time, I was already fascinated by the aesthetics of sushi, the look of it, the minimalist side of sushi. But it was not very, very good. And Frankie will go on.
Et mais c'est ce qui m'a permis de rentrer dans l'univers de la cuisine japonaise et plus particulièrement du sushi, évidemment. Et ça a toujours attisé ma curiosité, l'esthétique du sushi. Et j'ai voulu toujours comprendre comment les Japonais avaient développé des techniques pour travailler le poisson de cette façon. Alors que de là où je viens, on est sur des choses plus rustiques et moins sophistiquées.
But this first experience with sushi aroused my curiosity. I wanted to know what was behind sushi. How did the Japanese do to make it so good? What were the techniques that they developed to keep the fish as fresh as it is in sushis? Because where I come from, I'm in Brittany, we have a different way of cooking fishes and seafood. It's really simple, just, you know, in the oven or on the grill. So I just wanted to know what was behind this raw fish and how it could be so good.
Right. And you got curious, but eventually you wrote a book. So why did you decide to write a comic book about sushi?
Ça, c'est en fait après avoir fait une première bande dessinée sur le chocolat avec un chocolatier parisien que j'ai suivi pendant un an. C'est vrai que je cherchais un nouveau sujet à explorer en bande dessinée dans la gastronomie. Et mon directeur de collection avec qui je travaille est passionné lui aussi de cuisine japonaise et de sushi. Il vient lui aussi de Bretagne. Et tous les deux ont parlé de faire un livre autour du sushi depuis très longtemps. Et on ne savait pas trop comment ça pouvait se créer. Donc voilà, donc on a réfléchi à ça ensemble et puis on s'est lancé dans l'aventure, mais sans avoir d'idée sur à quoi ressemblerait le livre au final.
I first did a comic book about chocolate with a famous chocolate maker in Paris. After that book, which I really enjoyed, I was looking for another subject for a new comic book about food. And my publisher, the publisher of the first book, is very fond of sushi and Japanese culture, and fishing. So, and as I love sushi as well, we started to have some conversations about a book which we will deal with sushi and all the culture around sushi. And then as things go on, we just came up with this idea of the comic book.
Right. I'm so glad it happened because your book is amazing. So what is the theme of the book and who did you write it for? In other words, who is your targeted audience?
C'est un peu difficile comme question parce que quand je me suis lancé là-dedans, je n'ai pas réfléchi du tout à l'audience et à qui pourrait être destiné ce livre en fait. Je l'ai d'abord fait pour moi et pour satisfaire ma curiosité.
It's a very tricky and difficult question for me because when I started the book, to be quite honest, I mainly did it for me. I didn't think about any audience or anyone. I just wanted to have fun. Then,
et oui, voilà, l'idée c'était de satisfaire ma curiosité, découvrir l'univers du sushi au Japon, et en fait je ne savais pas ce que j'allais voir. Donc c'est plutôt après, en cours de route en tout cas, quand j'ai commencé à travailler concrètement sur la bande dessinée et à faire les pages, qu'on a pu, avec mon directeur de collection, se faire une idée sur le lectorat du livre, mais qui sera plutôt un public adulte quand même. Mais au final, maintenant que le livre est sorti, je me rends compte que des gens plus jeunes que ce qu'on imaginait sont intéressés par le sushi. Et j'ai notamment des enfants entre 9-10 ans sont les premiers lecteurs, par exemple.
When we first started the book, we thought that the main audience, the targeted audience, will be more adult and people who were already interested in Japanese culture or sushi. But as things go on and as we were working on the book, we knew that there is a deep interest in France for Japanese culture among many, many people. And when the book was published, we saw that because some teenagers came during signing and they had read the book and they loved it. And we also know that we have younger readers, like children maybe between 9-10. So I think the book can be maybe interesting, I hope so, for many people, adults, young and teenagers.
Hey, I'm so glad to hear that, because as I read, if I was like 10 years old, I would totally be fascinated by Japanese culture. And the book really, really captures the uniqueness and the depth, which is really hard by reading letters. And your illustration, Frank, is just so fun and cute and very descriptive to the details and some, you know, technical things like you know, how to cut fish, or break down fish, that kind of thing. It's very impressive. So, yeah, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And so your book features very interesting characters in the whole sushi industry, from a Michelin-starred chef to fisherman, rice farmer to soy sauce maker. So how did you find them?
Alors, là, j'ai eu beaucoup de chance parce que c'est lié à mon précédent livre sur le chocolat. En fait, un chocolatier français qui s'appelle Stéphane Bonnat m'a mis en contact avec Rika Shibata, qui est une amie à lui et avec qui il travaille beaucoup au Japon, et qui m'a présenté comme pouvant être quelqu'un qui ouvrirait les portes des dessous du sushi. Voilà, qui permettrait de rencontrer des chefs, des pêcheurs et toutes les personnes qu'on rencontre dans le bouquin. Donc voilà, donc sans Rika, vraiment, j'aurais pas pu faire ce livre, et je la remercie grandement, même dans le livre.
I got really lucky, to be quite honest, because I tried to open some doors by myself at first, and it was really impossible. And then one day, I was speaking to a chocolate maker in France, which I did my previous book with, called Stéphane Bonnat. He's a very famous chocolate maker in France. And he told me about one of his friends, who is called Rika Shibata. And Rika, she's working with Stéphane in Japan. And Stéphane told me, okay, call Rika because she can be really helpful. She will open some doors for you. So I got in touch with Rika, and she helped me a way that I couldn't imagine and hope. Without her, there would be no book. She did everything for me, and she got actually all the contact that you will see and discover in the books.
Right. Well, I'm so glad you find her, because the people you chose to discover, they're really the top of the industry, and they know the secrets of the depths of Japanese food culture and, you know, culture itself, for that matter. So, okay. So we'll take a quick break here. And when we come back, we'll discuss Frankie and Marilyn's fascinating discoveries about sushi in Japan that are featured in the book. So please stay with us.
Today's program is brought to you by Corin, a supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. Corin is proud of their Japanese culture and traditions, but they want you to know that their products are not just for Japanese restaurants. The knives and tableware bring out the best qualities of food from every culture and fit into every restaurant, from French to Pan-Asian to American, and that is why they're located in New York City, where people from every country in the world come to eat. Corin's Tribeca showroom is home to the most extensive collection of Japanese chef knives in the world, including Japan. Stop by to view their exquisitely designed tableware and the rarest natural sharpening stones. They have a whole range of knife services, from repair and rust removal to reshaping and realigning. Corin is dedicated to this ideal, bringing the highest quality Japanese design to your table so you can experience the unparalleled quality of Japanese craftsmanship in your home or restaurant. For more information, visit corin.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Japanese, broadcasting live from Brooklyn, New York. I'm your host, Akiko Teyama, and my guests today are Frankie Alarcon and Marilyn Retard. And Frankie is an illustrator and a comic artist based in Paris, and he recently published a fabulous comic book, The Art of Sushi. His wife, Marilyn, is translating Frankie's French to English today. So for listeners who have not read your book, could you introduce us to some of the characters you featured? And first of all, who is Chef Hachiro Mizutani? And what was your biggest lesson from him?
Alors, Hachiro Mizutani est le premier chef que nous avons rencontré quand nous sommes allés au Japon. C'est le premier chef qu'on a interviewé et on a été très, très intimidés parce que c'est un chef étoilé.
Hachiro Mizutani is the first chef that we've met when we arrived in Japan, and we were very intimidated because he's a really, really, really great sushi chef, a Michelin star chef.
Et du coup, quand nous sommes allés dans son restaurant, c'est vrai qu'il y avait un petit côté très cérémonial. Dans l'ambiance, son restaurant est petit, c'est juste un comptoir, et ça ne ressemble pas du tout au restaurant qu'on connaît, nous, en France.
Et, when we arrived at his place, it was really impressive, because this is the kind of place we don't have in France. It's very tiny, very minimalist, and it was very quiet as well, not a sound. All the guests were not talking, so we didn't know at first how to behave.
Voilà, et c'est vrai qu'on a tous été très troublés, mais on a passé un moment incroyable, parce que ça nous a permis, ce repas chez Mizutani nous a permis de goûter la tradition, le sushi traditionnel, en fait.
We had an amazing time there, and the first and maybe most striking experience that we had in Japan, because it was our first encounter with the best of the traditional way of making sushi in Japan.
Right. And then he actually, Mr. Mizutani, he is Michelin 3-star. Now he's retired, but is really known as amazing, amazing talent to lead the sushi industry. So, and I was impressed by Chef Mizutani's comments, because you guys went to the fish market with him. And then, so it was interesting. He said that on the day, the quality of seafood is not the best. He still buys some as a courtesy and to support the seller's business, because they have long time relationship.
And also he says he never discusses the price of seafood because he trusts the seller based on that long-time relationship. So, yeah, I really learned from, you know, how the chef thinks and actually acts on that trust thanks to your book. So, yeah, it's one of the greatest things that, you know, I found as a comic book, you can't really communicate how people behave. And I really cannot thank enough, but this is illustrated, which makes it so much easier for people who don't know much about sushi. So, okay. So the next character I wanted to talk about, Hide-san. So who is Hide? And he told you how to make sushi at home. So who is he and what did you learn from him?
Hide est un ami de Rika, en fait. Et c'est, je crois que le jour de notre arrivée au Japon, Rika nous a dit, bah, ce soir, on est invité chez mon ami Hide à dîner. Et donc voilà, nous sommes arrivés, c'est chez gens que nous ne connaissions pas du tout. Et nous avons eu beaucoup de chance, surtout de découvrir chez eux, en plus, un repas fait maison, ce qui, je crois, n'est pas très courant au Japon. Et donc Hide et sa femme, Kana, nous ont préparé des temaki sushi.
Actually, we once again we got very lucky, and once again thanks to Rika, because Hide is one of Rika's friends. And the day we arrived in Japan, Rika told us, "Okay, guys, we're going to have dinner to my friends Hide and Kana. They want you to discover how we make sushi at home." So we felt very lucky because Rika also told us that day that Japanese people rarely invite other people, even more strangers, at the place to have dinner. So it felt like an honor, really. And then they had it that for dinner, and they taught us how to do temaki sushi. And then Frankie will go on with telling you who Hide is and Kana, what they do for a living.
Eh bien, le dîner c'est superbement bien passé, c'était très très sympathique, et puis surtout nous ça nous a tout de suite introduit dans un univers et dans l'ambiance du Japon immédiatement. Et puis on a surtout donc on a beaucoup ri parce qu'évidemment ils nous ont appris à faire des temaki sushi. Alors ça encore c'est pas trop compliqué, mais après on a essayé de faire quelques nigiri sushi chez eux. Et là c'est évidemment il faut des années d'apprentissage, mais on voit quand même que les Japonais ils connaissent ça depuis tout petit, et puis donc ils ont essayé de me montrer un petit peu. J'ai un peu lamentablement fait quelques nigiri, mais c'était beaucoup de fun et un très 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 bon moment qu'on a passé ensemble.
We had a great moment there because it was really fun and really cheerful, and I think even funnier for them, because actually they wanted, first we had temaki, and temaki is quite okay for a stranger to do. It's okay. But then they wanted us to practice on nigiri sushi. So it was really fun because we didn't know at all what we were doing. So it was amazingly bad what we did. but they are no Hide and Kana, of course, they are no sushi masters, but as we were observing what they did, we felt that Japanese people, they have a thing, like they know how to do, like instinctively. It's not perfect, of course. It's not the best sushi, but it's something that they have, that they've tested from their childhood sometimes, so it's easier for them. And for us, it was more fun than easy.
But if I did, nigiri is a whole other level.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, right? So people don't go to, people order sushi to eat nigiri or just go to the restaurant because it's so hard. And I try a couple times. It is so hard. So you shouldn't feel bad. I think you did a pretty good job with the hide. All right. So and also, I was curious. You went on a couple fishing trips, which is a really great experience, I think. And so tell us about the experience that what was most important, impressive about going on fishing trips.
Ah, alors, on a fait deux séances de pêche. On a été en mer avec des pêcheurs d'anguilles. Et ça, déjà, c'était alors quelque chose que moi, je n'avais jamais vu. Hein, la pêche aux anguilles, je ne savais pas du tout comment ça se pratiquait. Et ça, déjà, c'était très, très intéressant. La façon dont ils pêchent les anguilles avec ces tuyaux en plastique percés de trous de différentes tailles pour laisser sortir les anguilles. Enfin, voilà. Cette technique, en tout cas, que moi, je n'avais jamais vue en France. Alors, ça a été une vraie découverte.
We went twice on fishing trips with fishermen. The first one was with eel fishermen, and I discovered all the process because I had no idea of how it works. And actually, it's they catch eel thanks to, let's say, big plastic tubes with holes in it. And it was very, very interesting to see how it works, because in France, that's something that we don't have the occasion to, the opportunity to observe or to see.
Et la seconde session de pêche, c'était avec alors des marins de la famille, enfin des pêcheurs de la famille de Rica. Et c'était un moment assez exceptionnel parce que une fois de plus, on a été accueillis très très chaleureusement par les gens et notamment par sa famille. Et surtout, ils nous ont reçus pour le dîner avec un repas incroyable, digne d'un repas de Noël. Et voilà. Et surtout, c'était intéressant d'observer les techniques de pêche qu'ils utilisent. Alors eux, notamment, pêchent des appâts pour les pêcheurs. Et ça, c'est quelque chose que nous, on savait pas qu'on allait voir. Mais et voilà. Donc du coup, toutes ces techniques de pêche, la façon dont ils attrapent les poissons et la façon dont ils les gardent vivants, surtout dans les cales du bateau, ce que nous on commence tout juste un petit peu à développer en France. C'était quelque chose à l'époque quand on y allait qui était encore assez novateur.
The second trip was with Rita's family, actually, because her family, she had many fishermen in her family. And I must say that the experience was quite amazing. First, they had us for dinner the night before we went fishing. And it was like a Thanksgiving or Christmas Eve dinner, like so many food on the table. I've never seen that before in my life, to be quite honest. And I'm French, so I know what I'm talking about. it was amazing. All the seafood and fish that you can think about, there were everything. So they were very generous and we had a wonderful time there. And then the morning after that, we went fishing with them. And the first thing that I discovered is that they don't fish the fishes that you will buy at the market, but the bait for the fishes. So and then they gave it to the fish. They use it to catch bigger fish. And what I discovered is something that we don't have or that we are starting to have in France is that the fish. And then the fish is kept alive on the boat in kind of a big aquarium, I don't know, in which they will stay until they arrive to the port. But in France, it's really different. When you fish, the fishes are kept dead on the boat. So it's really different, and it's showing how the fish is treated with respect in Japan.
Right. You probably two of the few people who actually saw, including Japanese people. I never got the opportunity to see something like that. So yeah, and it was very described well in your book. And then you included an intriguing chapter on the current sushi culture in France. And I found it very interesting. And one of the characters you met was the Ikejime professional in Brittany, from his hometown. So could you tell us who he was and what he did? And by the way, Ikejime is a unique Japanese technique to slaughtering fish with minimum suffering and maximum freshness.
Oui, alors on a rencontré des pêcheurs en Bretagne qui pratiquent l'Ikejime. Et à l'époque où on, alors, à l'époque où on les a rencontrés, ils sont très peu nombreux à le pratiquer en France. Ça s'est beaucoup développé aussi depuis quelques années, parce que maintenant, beaucoup de chefs demandent des poissons tués en Ikejime. Ils ont appris, Stéphanie et son mari ont appris les techniques de l'Ikejime au Japon, parce qu'ils y ont travaillé.
Actually, we went to Brittany to meet some fishermen because we read online that they were one of the few in France who practiced Ikejime. Ikejime is a bit more used in France today, but when I did the book, it was really, really, really a specificity of these Brittany people. But I was very happy to see that this technique arrives in France because, as you were saying, it guarantees more quality and freshness to the fish.
Wow, amazing. I was very surprised. Occasionally, people tend to think that it's only Japanese people do because it's a commitment and it's a technique, but I'm glad that it's been kind of becoming more popular in France.
Yeah, so, but it's really new and it's more Parisian today and it's more for the best restaurants and chefs today. And some fish shops do it, but there are really a few.
Right. Wow. It's amazing. Okay, and then, so you also featured other characters such as Michelin-starred great chef Yannick Aleno, who works closely with a traditional trained Japanese chef. And so how do you compare the French approach to sushi with traditional Japanese sushi?
Alors, et avec Yannick Aleno, c'était assez marrant parce que en fait, je ne savais pas que j'allais l'interviewer pour mon livre quand j'ai commencé à le faire. Et c'est en rencontrant le chef Hachiro Mizutani, c'est lui qui nous a parlé beaucoup de Yannick Aleno, parce qu'il l'a reçu pendant quelques temps et il est un petit peu formé au poisson et au travail du poisson.
Actually, when I started the book, I had no idea that I will write and speak to Yannick Aleno for it. But when we went to Japan and when we met Hachiro Mizutani, he told us that he knew Yannick Aleno because Yannick Aleno did kind of, let's say, an internship with Mizutani, that he trained there with Mizutani. So,
wow, that's amazing.
Et du coup, c'était très, très marrant parce qu'au moment où, quand on est rentré en France et que j'ai voulu contacter du coup Yannick Aleno pour lui parler justement de sa rencontre avec Mizutani, en fait, Yannick Aleno allait ouvrir son restaurant de sushi.
So when I come back to France, I decided to reach Yannick Aleno, and it was something that I didn't know, but he was about to open his sushi restaurant in Paris.
Voilà, donc du coup, j'ai trouvé que ça faisait une belle façon de clôturer le livre, puisque nous commencions avec Mizutani, qui nous parlait de Yannick Aleno, et nous finissons ce livre avec Yannick Aleno, qui nous parle de Mizutani. Donc voilà, je trouvais que la boucle était bouclée, et puis c'était là aussi l'occasion de découvrir comment Yannick Aleno allait, lui, retravailler le sushi.
So for me, it was kind of ending a cycle because the book starts with Mizutani and ends with Aleno. And speaking about Aleno was a way for me to deal with the French approach to sushi. So I found it really interesting because in France, many people love sushi food and Japanese culture. And sushi will tell you about Yannick Aleno approaches.
Donc voilà, et du coup, c'est vrai que voir le travail de Yannick Aleno, alors c'est un petit peu particulier parce qu'évidemment, Yannick Aleno est un chef français 3 étoiles qui est très très connu. Et évidemment, quand il a ouvert son restaurant de sushi, il ne l'a pas fait comme tout le monde. Il a aussi retravaillé le sushi à sa façon en utilisant des techniques que lui a développées avec des sauces, avec des ce qu'on appelle les extractions à froid. Alors ce sont des techniques un peu compliquées pour faire des sauces qui ont beaucoup de goût. Et il les utilise justement pour accompagner ses sushis sur certaines recettes. Et c'était très, très intéressant ce croisement de culture culinaire.
Obviously, Yannick Aleno can't make sushi as anyone. I mean, he's a 3-star Michelin chef. So he has developed a technique to make let's say a bouillon and sauce even better. So he used that he applied that to sushi. I mean, when you eat a sushi, there's often another dish, a small one, which will be a bouillon or a sauce or something which recalls you of the fish flavor or something like that. And of course, as he's a 3-star Michelin chef, he's working with the best fishermen in France, and he has the best fish that you can get here. So it's really, 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 really good. It's the best of Japanese sushi because he's working with a Japanese chef for the sushi, and the best of French food combined.
Right. Yeah, actually, I checked the restaurant's website and sushi. They're really creative looking, but I think it's very loyal to the original taste of ingredients. And what I heard is that Japanese traditional chef, he was trained in kaiseki, and then he's doing sushi too. So yeah. It's open-minded, really skilled and creative. And it's so thrilled to see how inspiring the French sushi culture is becoming, right? So, yeah, I think it's inspiring to see French sushi culture right now or Japanese sushi industry because, you know, tradition needs to be evolved to stay strong and thriving. So I think what's happening in France featured in this amazing book, it's just interesting, and Japanese chefs can see it too in comic books too. So after writing this amazing book, do you see sushi differently? And if so, how different?
Même avant de finir ce livre, c'est après ce premier voyage au Japon, en fait, moi j'ai vu le sushi un peu différemment. C'est-à-dire que c'est vrai que avant d'aller au Japon, on allait régulièrement dans des restaurants japonais, alors pas des entrées de gamme, mais on va dire milieu de gamme, et on y allait assez régulièrement. Et c'est vrai qu'en revenant du Japon, après avoir mangé chez Hashiro Mizutani ou chez Okada, qui est un autre chef que l'on rencontre dans le livre, la barre était tellement haute qu'on n'avait plus envie d'être déçu avec des sushis de moyenne qualité. Voilà.
Actually, before the trip that we did for the book, we did another one in Japan a few years before, and my view on sushi was already different because before going there, when we were in Paris, we could eat in a, let's say, a low quality sushi restaurant. And then when we went to Japan, we discovered Mizutani and Chef Okada, who is also in the comic book, who is a modern, younger sushi chef. And when it was so good and so amazing and so different from what we had before in France, that when we came back to France, we didn't want to have a lower quality sushi anymore. So it's different because now it's getting more expensive to have good sushi food in France.
Right.
Okay, right. So, and also I think the book captures not just chefs, but who's supporting the whole industry. I think that's a very important thing, that you get to go to Japan and you understand the whole picture rather than what's on your plate. So, yeah, I'm so glad you guys went there twice to Japan. Maybe you can continue traveling to Japan. And
we hope so.
Right? And maybe the sequel of this book. Okay, and so what do you think is the essence of sushi that appeals to so many people in the world?
Ça c'est une question que j'ai posée souvent aux chefs que j'ai rencontrés au Japon. Je crois que c'est assez simple, c'est le côté finalement accessible du sushi, parce que c'est quelque chose qu'on peut manger avec les doigts. C'est le côté très visuel aussi du sushi, son esthétique, et puis aussi son image de nourriture saine.
Actually, it's a question that I asked to many people we met when we went to Japan. And I think there are many, many reasons for the appeal of sushi. I would say that, first of all, it's because it's easy to eat. It's finger food, so it's you can have it anywhere or anytime. And then the second reason may be the aesthetic of it, because it's really pure and simple and beautiful. And I also think that it has a very good healthy image. People think that if they eat sushi, it's a low-fat food, and, you know, it's fish, so it's not, you know, in France we are really used to very fat food, good but fat. So I think the healthy image of it has a lot to do with it as well.
Right. Yeah, a lot impact in the small pieces of sushi topped with, the rice topped with fish. So, okay. And so your book, The Art of Sushi, was published by NBM Graphic Novel in December 2021 and is available in English and French. So where can we buy your book?
Aux États-Unis, je ne sais pas exactement, mais je pense qu'on peut le trouver dans toutes les bonnes librairies et sur Amazon, tout simplement. Et en France, même quelques magasins, genre des restaurants ou des épiceries spécialisées en cuisine japonaise, ont quelques exemplaires à vendre aussi.
I can't tell for the US, but you can find it obviously online on Amazon, for example, or it's very easy. And in France, it's in every bookstores and sometimes even in restaurants, Japanese restaurants, and some grocery Japanese grocery shop also sell it sometimes.
Nice. Okay, it makes sense. I think more American sushi places should carry it, because it really deepens your understanding, appreciate what you're eating. So, okay, so what are your plans and dreams?
L'un de mes rêves, c'est de retourner au Japon. Évidemment, j'aimerais faire un autre livre qui explore d'autres facettes de la cuisine japonaise.
One of my first dreams is to go back to Japan, because after the pandemic, it has been really impossible for us. But because I would like one day, if I can, to do another book about Japanese food, but maybe the older Japanese food, let's say kaiseki or more daily Japanese food.
Well, I can't wait. All right, so you'll keep me posted, definitely. I really want to read that. And so where can we find your updates online and on social media?
Pour avoir des nouvelles de mon travail, c'est vrai que le plus simple, c'est mon site internet, qui est à mon nom, qui s'appelle à l'adresse franquialarcon.com. Et sinon, sur mes comptes Instagram, alors j'ai un compte dédié à l'illustration et un compte spécial dédié aussi à la bande dessinée. Du coup, j'ai séparé mes deux activités pour que ce soit un peu plus clair pour suivant les pour les gens, parce que c'est pas les mêmes centres d'intérêt.
Actually, the easiest way is to go on my website, frankiealarcon.com. But I also have two Instagram accounts. One is dedicated to my work as an illustrator, so more fashion work. And the other one is dedicated to my comic books, so because they are really, really different type of works, as I was saying at the beginning of the interview. So the first one is called about illustration. It's Mr. Frankie. And the other one, it's Frankie Alarcon BD.
Okay. So so the Frankie is F-R-A-N-C-K-I-E. So Frankie, right?
Yes.
And Alarcon, A-L-R-C-O-N, Alarcon. Great. All right. So, well, thank you so much for an amazing conversation. And thank you, Marlene, for excellent translation. And thank you so much. And hope to see you again here to discuss another new book.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So listeners, if you have any questions or comments about the show or suggestions for short topics to our guests, please contact us at japanese@theheritageradionetwork.org or akikokotema.com. Japan Needs is a weekly program and always available at heritageradionetwork.org as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. Our engineer is Kevin Barnum. And thank you for listening. I will see you next week. Japan Needs is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Awele, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries, like why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode. Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.